If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome to this week's edition of the Journal Sentinel Bucks podcast. I'm Matt Velasquez, and I'm talking to Charles Gardner, who's in San Francisco right now as part of the Bucks' four-game West Coast trip. And Charles, it's been a pretty busy week for you, huh?
Crazy week so far, Matt. Plenty of news, plenty of stuff going on with the Bucks as they were coming off that huge win Saturday night to end Golden State Warriors' 24-game winning streak, 28 if you count back to last season, and then falling flat against the Lakers, and also losing on Wednesday night to the Clippers. Played much better against the Clippers, but very disappointing effort against the Lakers, losing by 18 points to a team that had won just three games, and that coming right after that high, that emotional high of the win over the Warriors. So it's been a crazy week. We also had Greg Monroe being injured in shoot-around, which is you know, something that doesn't happen very often, but can happen. Someone fell into his knee. It was just a fluky thing. And also we had our strip club incident with four of the Bucks players going to West Hollywood and being caught on camera by the ever-present TMZ Sports. And so we've just had, and we also had the Grievous Vasquez and surgery in there. So it's been a very newsy week, Matt.
All right. Well, we're going to hit on all those topics and maybe a little bit more during this edition of the podcast. So, Charles, let's go chronologically and let's go back to Saturday when I was over in Madison watching Marquette beat the Badgers and couldn't make it back to Milwaukee in time. And you and Todd Rosiak had everything covered, so that was A-okay. But let's go back to that day when the Bucks ended the Warriors' streak. You know, what were your some of your takeaways from that game?
Well, it was obviously both teams coming off a back-to-back, and I think the Bucks were sensitive to some of the media talk that the national media talk, of course, that Boston had played double overtime, which they did. I watched that game, the double overtime game with Boston and the Warriors, and that certainly did take something out of the Warriors, and they were at the end of this seven-game long trip. 18-day trip away from San Francisco and Oakland, the Bay Area. But the Bucks had also played, in fairness, in Toronto the night before. So both teams were coming off a back-to-back. And the Bucks just had the greater energy. They were, you know, Draymond Green was the player who said after the game, they were swarming all over the place. And I thought that was a very apt description of the way the Bucks played. They were sharp. They swarmed Curry, they blitzed him, they were able to get back and defend the three to hold the Warriors to 6 3-pointers and 23% shooting from three. That was pretty amazing. And OJ came out hot, OJ Mayo hitting 4 out of 5 from three-point range in the first half. And I thought that was big because it just set the tone that the Bucks were going to score and they weren't going away. And the Warriors, of course, made their run in the third quarter, got within one, and then Greg Monroe just took over in the fourth quarter. He and Andrew Bogut had been having a very good duel, I would say, of big men. Bogut had made it a little tougher for him to score, but Luke Walton went small in the fourth, and Greg just said, okay, thank you. And so he scored 11 of his season high 28 points in the fourth quarter. He was on a roll. The crowd got going. One of the most fun things, Matt, you missed that, you know, the Cream City Clash wore those 24-1 shirts.
Oh, I saw. Saw. Those were the big talk, you know, because Mark Lazary was wearing one and it ended up being a big deal.
And I said, you know, you had to figure they were just going to have to discard those shirts in the trash bin as they walked out of the BMO Harris Bradley Center. But no, those shirts were accurate when they walked out. That was the record of the Golden State Warriors, and the Warriors obviously weren't too happy about it, but it was a signature win for the Bucks, and you have to give them a lot of credit on that night. Not too many people believed they could do it. I certainly didn't at the beginning of the night. So a great win for them. And, they talked about building on it. They obviously did not.
Right. Because you look at that game and from somebody who listened to it on the radio and watched highlights afterwards and read your story and tried to get as much of a feel for it as possible. And that was a game where if you're a Bucks fan, you go, this is the team I've been expecting. This is the team I've been waiting for. Giannis getting a triple-double and Greg Monroe, really just having his way in the paint when the Warriors went small and O.J. Mayo contributing, in a big way with his shooting and Jabari Parker, making, key plays and performing well and running out on the break and MCW, having a solid night. I mean, all those things kind of come together with the Bucks holding, the Warriors who, under 100 points. You say like this is the offensive team I've been looking for. This is the defensive team I've been looking for. Like these are the individual performances that the Bucks have been lacking. And you kind of just look at it. And as I was, I saw the final score and I was telling my wife about it and kind of trying to explain the importance of the game and what was going on. I also kind of had that tickle in the back of my head where I was like, it would kind of be fitting if they just kind of blew it to the Lakers. Like, it just, this is how the team has been going this year. They've been playing well, and then suddenly they look like a whole different team, just a couple days later. And they're the only consistency has been inconsistency.
Well, I told some of the writers in LA on Tuesday that it was very possible the Bucks were going to lose that night. And they just told me I was nuts.
Well, they had seen the clown show, that is the Lakers too long.
They've been watching the Lakers. And of course, when Greg was a late scratch, he tried to go, but the injury from shoot around did not allow him to go. Later found out to be a left medial collateral ligament sprain. So then you knew it could be trouble if the Bucks weren't focused, if the Lakers got off to a good start, and that's exactly what happened. But I told them, so I came in the press room afterwards and said, see, told you.
And they
were all in disbelief. But I said, this is the way that the team has been this year, very inconsistent. And, especially without Monroe playing, John Henson didn't have a very good game. He started in his place, and we had Miles Plumlee start the following night. It was kind of, I don't know what you want to call it, odd. Plumlee played better the first night against the Lakers off the bench. Henson went to the bench the second night, then he played better. And it wasn't much of a game for Plumlee last night against the Clippers. But the bottom line is, as we all know, they need Greg in there. He's a big part of it. And it sounds to me that he won't be gone for too long. He's actually listed as doubtful for Friday's game against the Warriors, so he hasn't been totally ruled out for the game here Friday, which is a little surprising, but it doesn't mean he'll play, but it's just going to depend on his recovery, and that varies by individual with this type of injury. He told me he had the injury last season in Detroit. It was similar, but it was more severe. He missed 11 games, and he told me in the locker room before the game against the Clippers on Wednesday, he said, this won't be anywhere near that. So I think the Bucks are expecting maybe it would be a week, or it's hard to know. They don't want to put a timetable on it because it does vary with the individual, and they don't want to get roped into saying, yes, it's 7 days, or yes, it's 10, or whatever. But we will see. But he's listed as doubtful. Obviously, Matt, they could use him.
Yeah, definitely. That's not a question.
At the Oracle.
That's not a question.
Yeah, they could use him. They could use all plans on deck for that one.
Yeah, and going back to the game with the Lakers, you know, you mentioned all the things that kind of went wrong and all that, but Kobe Bryant picked a pretty good night to be vintage Kobe Bryant. He hadn't put together a performance like that where he actually shot the ball well and kind of worked as part of the team and things really flowed well, especially, I was watching highlights, and watching the game and that teardrop that he threw over Giannis.
Oh, beautiful shot, wasn't it?
He had to loft
rainbow.
That so high. Absolute rainbow, and just that's the kind of stuff where when Kobe's being Kobe, that's stuff that's falling. And with the Bucks,
22 points. Yeah, he looked very good.
Yeah, and with the Bucks without Monroe, you can't afford to have Kobe play like Kobe because you need to limit everyone, because without Monroe, this team hasn't shown that they can do very much, because he's the guy that they look to whenever they're in a tough spot.
And without Greg in the game, they had 29 second chance points, I think it was, Matt. So they were just all over the boards. Every time they missed a shot, they got the ball back, and then they were able to, convert on the second one. So, Julius Randle, who's coming off the bench, D'Angelo Russell, both have been put to the bench by Byron Scott. Interesting to see, Matt, that Coach Kidd isn't the only one bringing young players off the bench. Okay. Byron Scott's doing the same thing. There was a lot of talk in the LA media and LA papers about that. But obviously, D'Angelo played very well that night, hit some shots. I think he had 19 points. And then Randall, 14 rebounds. And I think he had, six offensive rebounds. And that's how he has to play. Sometimes he gets a little out of control. He's just, pounding in there. But this time, he was a little more under control, and I think that helped the Lakers. But Scott, I went to Lakers practice on Monday, and Byron said, hey, we're going to do this for at least 10 games and see how these guys do. He's using Lou Williams, a veteran player, in the starting lineup, but obviously they're bringing along those young players in LA, and of course they play very well that night. But for the Bucks, just disappointing, the entire effort. And of course, this came on the heels of this strip club episode.
Yeah, well, that came out the next day in TMZ. So the Bucks lose to the Lakers, and then suddenly the next day on TMZ, while they're getting ready to play, the Clippers, you hear, oh, well, four of them were at the strip club on Monday, night before the Lakers game.
Yeah, and of course, that wasn't good. It was Chris Middleton, OJ Mayo, Miles Plumlee, and Monroe, who were pictured on the video, and talked to Coach Kidd about it, and he said he had met with the players on Wednesday, and they talked about it, and he said that was discipline enough. I asked him if there were any internal discipline that he had instituted, but he said that players have to be professional, understand they're going to work the next day, and he's not against players going out or having some fun or being, you can't stay cooped up in your hotel room, but you have to make a better decision, make some decisions. There was this New York Times story recently, Matt, maybe you saw it too, about the Brooklyn Nets, and there are other teams that have tried to organize some activities for teams on the road, particularly in more of the mid-market cities such as Sacramento or Milwaukee or maybe San Antonio. And there was this mention that the New York Knicks had gone to the movie Spectre while they were in Milwaukee for their road game. And I think you said Washington maybe did the same.
Yeah, they did. That's what Jared Dudley tweeted the day of the game.
Right. So, I know it was $8 movie night down at the Regal Cinemas at LA Live. Maybe the Bucks should have gone there, Matt. It was $8. But hey, I'm just teasing. But the thing is that some of these organized activities, the interesting thing in the New York Times story, they said also a few players went to the Civil Rights Museum in Memphis. you know, there are other things that players can do when they're on the road. And of course, sometimes, you know, it's just a matter of being productive with their time. But I think here the decision making was not good when you're thinking you got to shoot around the next day and the Lakers game the next night. And so it wasn't a good look.
No. And, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, obviously that New York Times story mentions that a lot of the times those organized team activities are in kind of smaller or mid-market cities, because when you go to a big city like LA or Atlanta or New York, I think fewer players might be interested in doing that team activity
right.
because there's so many more things to do in those big cities, which, you know, I understand. But the biggest thing with that, the TMZ story, is if they had, you know, gone out to anywhere, really, you know, and it was the night after the Warriors game where they had a couple days off and they had just had a big win, that's not news. I mean, no one's going to be interested in that unless somebody pulls a Larry Sanders. I mean, that's just not news. Players
and
go
that,
out.
And that clearly wasn't happening here. That's a big difference that you mentioned. You know,
right.
These guys were just sitting there. They're not throwing bottles.
No, but at so the same time, it's, you know, it's 2 days removed from that Warriors win. It's the night before a game, you know, and a game that they ultimately lost. I mean, you and I were discussing earlier, you know, postulating that maybe if they had won that Lakers game, TMZ doesn't run with it, because obviously there's no way that affected them negatively, you know, but because...
It's hard to know, right?
Yeah, it's hard to know. Maybe they just say, hey, you know, we have these pictures, we're going to throw them out there, because who cares? We have the pictures, we have the video, we'll run it no matter what, and we can spin it however we want to, and that's their choice. But if the video and the pictures came out after the Bucks beat the Lakers, I don't think anyone wouldn't have the traction. And so because the team had gone from, you know, the highest of highs and beating, you know, this unbeatable team to one of the lowest places you can be in the NBA, which is losing to the Lakers in their current form, you know, then that type of video is just going to be, you know, an added burden to what you're doing, and it's going to be something for people like us and people around Milwaukee to talk about and discuss all the things that are wrong with this team that's now 10-17, and, you know, this right. has been, you know, at the butt, you know, hasn't been meeting expectations all year, you know, considering they were a playoff team last year, and now they're very much looking like they're not going to be.
Yeah, and the other thing that I thought about with this too is, okay, nothing happened in this incident, but we all know there were stories last year in New York.
Chris Copeland,
who's on the Bucks now. Yes, the Tabo Cephalosha, the deal. So when you go to some of these places and you're not leaving until 1 or 2 a.m., you're exposing yourself and your team to problems, and particularly yourself. So that's where the decision making has to be better. You can still go out and get a nice meal. You can still go out and have some fun. And so maybe it's finding a better place to do that. And you know, that's something. Hey, there are a lot of things to do in LA, or, you know, Milwaukee, or any of these NBA cities, actually. And so, but I think it is interesting that NBA teams are being more proactive about organizing activities on the road. I think the Bucks went out, we were talking about maybe 2 years ago, on the road somewhere for a movie night that just Larry Drew organized or something. So, and they've had bowling nights before. They've had other activities as a team. And maybe that's a way to do some of these things as well. So that said, then they went into the Clippers game on Wednesday, and they played much better, Matt, I thought, last night, or on Wednesday night. Again, they're playing a very good team there with Blake Griffin. DeAndre Jordan got tossed out of the game in the third quarter. It still didn't matter so much. The Clippers had a 8 or 9 point lead, and the Bucks made a couple challenges. Jason Kidd talked about a shot that MCW had missed, just spun out. He was right at the rim, point blank attempt and missed. He had just made a shot right before that in the lane. He was effectively driving in the lane throughout the game, and that would have cut it to five. Instead, the Clippers come back, Austin Rivers scores, and it was a 9-point lead. And that was kind of how the whole game was going. It just didn't seem the Bucks were going to be able to get over the hump, and they did not. Mayo fouled Redick on a 3-point attempt late in the fourth quarter when they still had a semi-chance. And Kidd made a point of that after the game, also saying, you know, he said, we must lead the league in fouling 3-point shooters. And it's just something they have to quit doing. So again, Redick hurt them. Remember, Matt, with the 31 points that he had.
Oh, yeah.
Against him in Milwaukee, he had 19 last night. Again, hit some key threes. And again, the 3-pointer hurt them. 12 threes for the Clippers and 3-for-3 from Josh Smith. Josh Smith just absolutely killed them because he had limited minutes, but in those minutes, he was very effective. And we all know the Clippers bench is not that strong. But when he was making that kind of dent, the Bucks needed to make a better dent against the Clippers bench than they did if they wanted to have a chance to win.
Yeah, and you know, the past two games, both in LA, they've kind of shown a little bit more of a regression on the Bucks defense, and maybe that's Monroe being out, but for the whole season, you know, they're 28th in the league in defensive rating. They're giving up 108.4 points per possessions per 100 possessions. Per 100 possessions. And you know, they had a stretch there starting with that Charlotte game where the defense really started to look better, and granted they were playing, you know, some teams that aren't as good, but they were doing what they needed to do and showing the right fundamentals defensively, and then holding the Warriors under 100 is a feat within itself, you know. But yes, over the course of the season, you know, this defense has just been a sieve. I mean, and so, you know, getting back to the point where now they've had back-to-back games allowing 100 points, and now they're going into Friday where they're going to be at the Warriors, who are, you know, a little bit geeked up for this game and looking for revenge. We'll talk about that in a little bit. Like, you know, this is looking like a West Coast trip where it's possible they can give up 100 plus every game.
Yeah, I mean, if they hold the Warriors under 100 again, there'll be a federal investigation. There'll be some kind of investigation going on. So, yeah, and then Phoenix, you know, I don't know. That's the last game on the trip Sunday, whether they can hold them under 100. They've had some of their own struggles, but they also can score some points. So it will be interesting to see that, Matt. Yeah, the other thing I guess we wanted to discuss a little bit was Grievous Vasquez underwent foot surgery, and of course that's been very disappointing to the Bucks. I'm sure also to Grievous. But here was a guy they traded a first-round draft pick, protected first-round pick, yes, but it was a first-round pick in 2017, the one they got in the Jared Dudley deal, and that's looking, you know, not so good if you don't get any production out of Vasquez at all. Obviously, they were looking for him to come in, be a veteran, steadying presence off the bench, help MCW, make some three-point shots. Really, none of that has happened. So, I mean, you know, none of it. So, and now you've got him having surgery, and Jason even said, well, he'll probably be looking at free agency. That's the reality of it. They wouldn't rule him out as coming back, but you got to think that's not going to happen when they're talking about a 3 or 4 month recovery period. So, you know, they'll look for Jared Bayless to be coming back. He's out with a sprained left ankle, not on the trip, but he will be coming back. But this seems like an unfortunate turn of events, and certainly a lot of people didn't like this trade in the beginning, and it's looking pretty bad for the Bucks right now.
Yeah, and with Grievous Vasquez hurt, you know, there's nowhere the Bucks can turn. It's not like you can send him to like an injured list or an IR or whatever and clear out a roster spot. His roster spot is taken, and that's it. And so they have to pay him the $6.6 million he's owed for this year, and he'll probably walk because, you know, this summer the cap is going to move up a little bit more, and there'll be a lot of money on the table, and the Bucks aren't really liable to spend the money that they have on Greivis Vasquez. There could be other promising options out there or guys that they already have in the fold who they want to extend, and that's just not going to be an option for them. It's not that it's not going to be an option for them. It's very unlikely to be an option for them.
Yeah, there may be some insurance that will kick in later in the season on his contract, but it's nowhere near the 6.6 million, so they're not going to recover too much. I think it might be over $1 million that they could recover worth in insurance. But so that's been something with the roster, and you wonder will they try to make some kind of little shakeup, add a veteran. We learned today there was a Yahoo Sports report that they had talked with Carlos Boozer, and I was able to confirm through a league source that indeed they did talk with Boozer in Los Angeles. I was told the talks were informal, so not knowing whether it will really lead to anything serious or him signing with the Bucks. But yeah, obviously played for the Lakers last year. He's 34 years old, two-time All-Star, known for his great years with the Utah Jazz. And, you know, I think he's probably looking at retirement, what type of issues he's facing. And but I understand that he met with Bucks officials, including Coach Kidd. So we'll see if there's anything that happens with that. But it's clear maybe the Bucks are looking around to see. There's been some other reports in the media about Caron Butler, who's with Sacramento, not playing at all. Maybe the Bucks are looking to add a veteran. They would have to make a roster move, but they could do that. Maybe they have to make a trade. You know, that's possible. I think trades are possible. There was also talk about Miles Plumlee out there. ESPN had a report that he was possibly being shopped. Of course, now he hadn't played for six straight games, and then he played in the last two games due to the Monroe injury, and he even started a game. So this is life in the NBA when injuries strike. So we'll see what happens there, Matt, and stay tuned. There may be a move or two. Obviously, they're going to stick with their young core, and you know, increasingly, it looks like a tough road to the playoffs. They certainly thought they were going to be in the playoffs when the season started. Now you're 10-17, and you've got half of the Eastern Conference, or how many Eastern Conference teams are above 500? So it's not going to be easy. I'm not saying they're giving up on that, but it looks like a real tough climb to get there.
Absolutely. The East is definitely much improved, and the Bucks are going in the opposite direction. And I remember hearing a stat at one point that, you know, Christmas is kind of the big day for the NBA when they have their marquee games and things like that. Well, the teams that are in the playoffs, 1-8 in the Eastern and Western Conference, as of Christmas Day, you know, are, you know, statistically very likely to stay in the playoffs or be in the playoffs. I think I heard a stat like that, I think, yes, it was a year or two ago. Yeah. But overall, the picture that we have at that point in the season, about, you know, 30 some odd games in, it gives you a pretty good idea of where teams stand. And with the Bucks where they are now, you know, they, like you said, they have a long climb, and is it worth that climb? Is it worth it to get to the eighth spot and play the Cavs and get bounced? I mean, this is what the team did for so many years under Herb Cole. I mean, so if they're gonna be bad right now, you know, you have to kind of just let the young guys, you know, try and figure it out and try and gel together and keep working and progressing incrementally. And if that's not enough, I guess that's okay. And then you hope that they, you know, win enough games to learn and be productive and kind of set a foundation for the future. But I'm sure fans would probably want to say, well, don't win too many games. Don't push that draft pick too far back.
Right. And you've got Jabari, MCW, Giannis. You can see, Matt, that there's still the growing pains with these guys, and they've each had their struggles. They've each had their good moments, their great moments, and that's probably going to continue throughout the season. But they're playing games, they're growing, they're getting better, and I think that's really what the Bucks want to see. One of the encouraging things, I would say, in the last week or so has just been MCW. He went back in the starting lineup on Wednesday against the Clippers. And we kind of knew, we talked about that last week, I think, that at some point he was going to get back in the starting lineup. Now, but it meant Giannis went to the bench. So, but I think this is just like I was talking, just as I was talking about before about the Lakers. This is the tough love, you know, this is the young guys learning and kid kind of teaching them those lessons and saying, you know, he said last night, hey, sometimes you have to go to the bench to figure it out. And he was talking about MCW, and certainly he's been playing much better, and still played a good game last night as a starter. So I guess that's the good news. He didn't fall off as soon as he went back into the starting lineup. I had looked it up, and he had been coming off the bench for 10 games. So that was a significant portion.
You know, and MCW, as we kind of shift to Friday night's game against the Warriors, he's kind of at the center of a lot of the war of words that's going on right now. You know, I've heard a lot of stuff. You know, there were some stories written about what the Warriors are saying, since obviously the Bucks knocked them from the perch of being unbeaten, and MCW had that big dunk at the end. He stared the bench down, and you know, so that there's been a lot of talk.
Yeah, they didn't like his dunk. Apparently, I tweeted today. I thought that was laughable that the Warriors all suddenly are mad about the way the Bucks celebrated. I mean, did they think they weren't going to celebrate? You know, would another team have just not celebrated after ending the Warriors' 24-game streak? I mean, that's not realistic. You know, especially in front of their home fans and the audience going crazy. And, you know, Greg was gesturing to the crowd to pump up the volume. Of course you're going to be excited doing something like this. So I was a little amused by all this stuff from the Warriors today, but it might not be amusing for the Bucks on Friday night, because these guys are going to come in. Of course they're going to come in with a chip anyway, because they lost in Milwaukee. I think the Bucks, bad luck to play them so quickly, what, 6 days later. You'd rather wait for about 2 months and hope that they forgot about it, right, Matt?
Oh, yeah. Hopefully that they pick up a couple more losses and it's not a big deal. But,
right.
You know, Steph Curry said, he said, hey, we were kind of laughing at some of the stuff that was going on. You know, it was a big game for them. Friday will be a big game for us. And so, yeah. You know, and then going back to MCW, Draymond Green, you know, he kind of, you know, got on him a little bit and just said, hey, like, you know, he's looking at our bench and we're like, dude, you lost your spot. Like, you know, meaning he lost his starting spot. And he's like, so, you know, this guy who lost his spot is like yelling at us. And,
man,
you know,
I don't see what that has to do with anything.
Oh, I know.
So he lost his spot. Come on, Draymond. So he lost his spot. He's playing out there. He had 17 points and 7 assists. Doesn't matter if he's coming off the bench or starting. That I thought was hilarious.
Yeah, oh, so, I'm just the messenger. That's what Draymond said. He's like, oh, yeah, well, MCW's got his own, you know, house to take care of, his own ground to make up, whatever. You know, Klay Thompson didn't care. He was like, you know, I don't care about the dunk, but the stare down, trying to talk nasty, like, you know, come on. Like, you know, we'll see you in our building.
Well, it'll be interesting. I talked to MCW in the locker room last night. Of course, didn't know about these comments at the time. And maybe they hadn't even been made at the time yet, but talked to MCW and he said, hey, you know, we can't let them punk us because he knows what's coming. And I think, you know, Chris Middleton said, hey, look, they're going to go for the knockout. He said, they're going to go for the knockout. And he said, we have to stay composed and stay together. And OJ Mayo talked about an ambush. So I think the Bucks know, you know, until they get out there, they may not know really what's coming. The incredible thing about the Oracle is, to anybody who's been there, I mean, it's a great, great fan base, and, you know, one of the loudest arenas in the league.
And so I know it's one of your favorites.
I do. I like the Oracle. You can't help but love the Oracle. I mean, these fans are passionate. And I'll never forget the night when Monte Ellis went back there, you know, played against the Warriors the first game after the Warriors had traded him to the Bucks. And he was such a fan favorite in the Bay Area that they just gave him a standing ovation and went crazy when he came out. And, of course, you know, Andrew Bogut, who's turned out to be a great pickup for the Warriors, and we know helped them win the championship. And by the way, had a plus 41 rating without scoring a point in the game against the Suns on Wednesday, as an aside. But anyway, yeah, but anyway, he was the, you know, the Warriors owners got basically booed for trading Monte, but that turned out to be a pretty good deal for the Warriors. We all know that. But the funny thing is that Monte never lost to the Warriors when he was a member of the Bucks. Never. And so maybe the Bucks need him on their side tomorrow night. I think that would be helpful. But
well, he lost to the Warriors as part of the Pacers now. So
yes,
it didn't really matter there.
But when he was with the Bucks, they never lost to his former team. And so, you know, I'm thinking, yeah, if he could just change out of that Pacers uniform for one night, maybe that would be a help. But it may be, Matt, that nothing is going to be able to cover the revenge factor that the Warriors are feeling here. So it, and especially if Monroe does not play, you got to say, boy, this is really going to be a tough task. Of course, you didn't think there was any chance in Milwaukee last week either, really, and they played such a great game. But this will be a different animal, I have a feeling. And
Definitely.
You know, it will be interesting. And I think it will be interesting given the Warriors' comments, how heated is this going to get? I'm a little surprised that a team that is a defending NBA champion is so out for revenge against the Bucks, but I guess that streak meant a lot to them.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's fair to say, especially since it's, like you mentioned, it's so fresh, and I think you're right in saying that, you know, it's something that it's hard to imagine the Bucks would win, you know, on Friday, especially because it's just so rare to see the Warriors shoot as poorly as they did against the Bucks, and you know, you give some credit to the Bucks defense, but not all of that is the Bucks defense. It's there's definitely a balance there.
Yeah, and of course they had a 46-point third quarter last night against Wednesday against the Suns, and just blew open a game. You know, I think they led by 40 at one time, and wound up winning by 25 points. So again, Klay Thompson with 43 points, and they don't need him in the fourth quarter. You know, so it's incredible what they're doing, and a lot of national writers and broadcasters, everybody is looking forward. They still haven't played the Spurs yet. They haven't played the Thunder yet. And it's going to be very interesting when the Warriors go up against those teams. So some of those other Western Conference powers, the Thunder start to play much better. They were struggling at the start of the year. But now Durant and Westbrook are kind of definitely getting it together. And the Spurs, certainly. You know, one of my colleagues with the Warriors I talked to today, and he said, you know, the thing was, he said, we lost to Milwaukee and we were like only 2.5 games ahead of the Spurs. And then they're, you know, 24-1. So it's there are going to be some interesting games coming up. They play the Cavaliers. The Warriors play the Cavaliers here on Christmas Day. You mentioned those Christmas Day games, and that's a big one that's coming up out here as well.
Probably the biggest. I mean, I can't imagine a bigger game in the NBA that day than Cavs Warriors.
A finals rematch, yeah. So that's going to be, and of course, Kyrie Irving shortly, I think, will be coming back with the Cavaliers, or he's certainly getting very close. So it'll be interesting. Is he playing in that Christmas Day game here in the Bay Area? So we shall see what all will go down, and we'll have some report on that next podcast.
Maybe we'll try and squeeze a podcast in next week, even though it's Christmas, but you know, there's a chance that might not happen considering our schedules and the holidays.
Correct.
so we might not be back until the new year, or probably before the new year. We'll get one in before the new year.
We'll try to get one that New Year's week probably, and we can talk about some of these games. The Bucks will be home Christmas week. You're going to cover the Philadelphia game, And so that'll be great. And
It'll be great because it's the third time you stuck me with Bucks Sixers in the past year.
The Sixers, but you volunteered. Yeah,
I guess I did.
And then Toronto at home. So at least the Bucks are home to Christmas week. And then they finish this really rough December, Matt. They've had a rough schedule with Oklahoma City, Dallas. I think back-to-back starting in Dallas. And then Indiana again. We know how good they have played. And then Minnesota to open the new year. So another four-game trip. So back to the road. I'll go at the end of the month.
Yeah, before we close out, one last topic that we hadn't discussed, but I wanted to get your take on it. Obviously, to end this West Coast road trip, the Bucks are going up against the Suns and Brandon Knight. You know, how do you think Brandon Knight's going to approach this game, and what are you kind of expecting for that night?
Well, it'll be interesting to watch Brandon play against his first time against his former team. We all know he was disappointed at the time of the trade. He really wanted to lead the Bucks into the playoffs. And he was so excited about finally getting to the playoffs. He could see it coming, as he had never made it with the Detroit Pistons when he was there. And then, boom, here comes the trade. And, of course, he didn't make the playoffs with the Suns. And that's still a goal, a big goal for him in his career. He's been playing well this year. Yes, it'll be interesting to see that matchup with MCW and to talk to Brandon. But I'm sure he's going to have a little something extra in there for the Bucks. You got to think so, right?
Well, especially when MCW is on the floor. I think he'll especially want to nothing personal with him, but this is the guy he got traded for.
Right. I think he wants to show the Bucks they made a mistake. And, you know, I think he's been trying. He's obviously there with Eric Bledsoe with the Suns, and that they've committed to those two guys in their backcourt. And John Luehr now playing for the Suns too, so we've got some different connections. Former Bucks player and former University of Wisconsin player, and John Luehr playing the most minutes he's played, I think, in the NBA, or getting the most regular duty. And so it'll be interesting to see him as well, as he was with Memphis. He's been with some different teams, and now maybe finding his niche with the Suns. And of course, Markieff Morris not playing, being benched. So the Suns have their own issues. So it'll be interesting to see. But it'll be good to see Brandon. He's you have to say he did very well with the Bucks, and you know, he was here during that really rough season under Larry Drew, and I thought he always conducted himself with class and leadership in a, you know, in a very tough situation when they had the worst record in the league. And then, you know, it's good to for him to have some success, but then came the trade deadline. So be very interesting, and we'll look forward to talking to Brandon.
Yeah, he was always one of the really good guys to talk to in that locker room, and I'm definitely looking forward to hearing what he has to tell you when you're out there in Phoenix.
You bet. Yeah, we definitely will be talking to him. That's a day game, and I think it's on about the same time as the Packers game, Matt, so there probably won't be too many people watching that one.
No, but you'll have to do an extra good job with your game story.
But I'll be there, yeah.
You just got to do an extra good job with that game story and make sure people know what happened.
That's right, as the Packers are out here in Oakland, and they're going to be right here. The Bucks are preceding them by only a couple days here. So the Bay Area is where it's at this weekend.
All right, great. Well, that should wrap up our latest edition of the Journal Sentinel Bucks podcast. As we mentioned, we'll try and get another one in, you know, at most two before the new year. But until then, the best way to listen to the podcast is to subscribe via iTunes or Stitcher. And as always, you can either download or stream the podcast on jsonline.com/bucks. So thank you very much for joining, and we will talk to you again soon.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key, and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.